John chapter 8. Verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Let's stop there and go back to verse number 21 to quickly review and get up to speed. We see that Jesus now speaks again in verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them. We read that in verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them. This is remarkable patience. Over and over, he bears witness here before them, and over, they steadfastly reject his witness and his own self. Well, Jesus says again in verse number 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Now, we already pointed this out, but what is his way in verse number 21? We covered that last Lord's Day, but let's draw it all together here. Yes, he came to go to the cross. That's what he came into the world for. That's his way. But what did he purchase on the cross? Yes, he purchased forgiveness of sins. Now, that's going to be important because he's going to make their sin the issue. If we read carefully, we will immediately discover that this passage of Scripture points out the, as we pointed out in the Sunday night service, the hideous, naked truth concerning the human race. Sin is the issue. The wages of sin is death. Now, the word again is used in verse number 21. What does that imply about him going his way? He's told them before, of course. This isn't the first time that they've received this witness, and it isn't the first time that they have rejected it. Last time we got together, we talked about the fact that the Pharisees sent people down to see what John the Baptist was doing as he was baptizing in Jordan near Enon. And what did John the Baptist say concerning Christ? Yes, he said, I'm not the Christ, but here he is. Behold the Lamb of God that does what? That takes away the sin of the world. Now, the scripture says that these Pharisees and scribes counted John as a prophet, didn't they? That's going to be important, too, because we're going to see some scripture that says they might have counted him as a prophet, but they certainly didn't listen to what he had to say. So, verse number 21, once again. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come, and ye shall seek me. Well, we looked at some scripture last time that talked about the fact that they wouldn't call upon the Lord when he might be found, so he was going to laugh when their fear came, and he would refuse to hear them after they have refused to hear his son. So, indeed, they will seek him. But the key verse that we want to look at, or the key phrase, I should say, in verse number 21 that we want to look at is, shall die in your sins. Shall die in your sins. Now, the Old Testament says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not because of what the fathers did, because the Jews love their little proverb, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. They wanted to blame their ancestors for the condition of the human race, and the Lord debunks that in the Old Testament and says, no, every person will stand for themselves. That particular soul that sins, it shall die. And of course, the word die means be separated from God for all eternity. Does that make sin the issue? I would say, yeah, it makes it the central issue. The wages of sin is death. Well, in verse number 21, Jesus said, ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Is this another way of saying that the wages of sin is death? Because he follows it up by saying what? Whither I go, you cannot come. Has Jesus ever, previous to this, said that his home was in heaven? And that he had been sent by the Father. Yes, indeed, he has. There's still that word again. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them. So this is a consistent, repeated testimony. They consistently and repeatedly reject it. And whither I go, you cannot come. That brings us to verse number 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? What do you make out of this?
They have no clue who he was, really.
Okay, they don't, that's true, but because they have deliberately decided to reject the truth. But what are they saying here, and in what manner are they saying it? Verse number 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. It really pays to think as we read the scriptures. what is going on in this scene. And as I oftentimes point out, the best way to do that is to put yourself in the scene.
I don't know what the laws are in Judaism as far as...
No. It's a no-no. Big, big no-no.
Because I know Catholicism, even if you're saved, if you commit suicide, that's an unpardonable sin. So what they're saying here, it seems to me what they're saying here is, he's committing suicide, that's the big taboo, and we can't follow him there, so maybe that's what he's saying.
Well, that's a possibility, certainly. Do you think there might be another take on it?
I think that they might have even been saying that to implant that in the rest of the people's mind.
Of course they were.
They're trying to influence the audience.
Sure they were. That's why they dragged this woman taken in adultery right into the temple. Again, let us remember the setting. Jesus is teaching in the temple. The feast days are over. The fame of Jesus has spread, and many stay after the feast, even the out-of-towners that have come in to observe the feast as the law of Moses required. They've heard about Jesus. They've stuck around. And so this is not a small group that's gathered together in the temple. It's a huge group of people. And the Pharisees are interested in discrediting Jesus, and they look at this as a perfect venue in which to do so.
Because the Gentiles were there, they were really interested in what he had.
Yes, indeed they were.
Some of the everyday.
Indeed they were. I don't know, they were not told that Gentiles were in attendance here, but there certainly were proselytes who had been Gentiles. Did you want to say something, Rod?
I just had a question. The verse before. It says that he's in the treasury.
Yes.
What is the import to that? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't put anything in
there. Oh, well, that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked. This spake Jesus in the treasury. Well... who did they drag in before the crowd? Way back in verse number 3 and 4.
The adulterous woman.
A woman. Now, we know enough about the temple to understand that there were limits. Gentiles could go no further than a certain place into the temple, and women could go a little bit further, but they couldn't go in where the men could go. In the temple. And of course, even those men couldn't go where the priests were in the temple. So what do you suppose the import is here?
That's as far as they could go.
That's as far. That's why they dragged the women in there. Do you suppose Jesus knew that and decided to stay in the treasury? He knew the woman was coming. Isn't that another hint right here? Or should I say... proof. The Holy Spirit put that in there as one more piece of evidence that the entire story is true. Does that answer the question?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not just an idle addendum to the verse.
Well, you always say the Holy Spirit puts it in there for a reason.
Yes, he does. Thank you for not allowing me to gloss that matter. Okay, back to the task at hand. Verse number 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Let's stop there and parse out that portion of the verse. Then said the Jews, why is the then there? Because he had said something previous to this? Of course. This is a continuous narrative. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Well, we have one take on this as well. They were concerned that he might commit suicide. I'm sure they were living, quaking in their boots, considering that possibility. Pardon?
I don't think we could use the word concerned.
Okay. Yes. Yes, I'm sure they were hopeful, but in what vein do you suppose this was said?
Because they knew his testimony before, like the disciples, where he had said he was going to die and be raised again in 3 days.
Yes, but did he point out by what manner he would die?
Has he done that yet?
Oh, yes. He certainly has. Oh, yes.
So
they're planting seeds of doubt about how he's going to die?
They are, but let's consider the attitude of the Pharisees here. What was the attitude that they might have said this in? Will he kill himself?
That would be heinous for him to do that in their religion.
It would be. But what do you suppose the mood in which it was said was?
Was it not satirical?
I don't think it was satire, but could you say they may have been sneering?
He wasn't worth anything anyway, so
they're trying to say the whole thing is farcical. Mm-hmm. He can't be believed. He's mad. He has a devil, and he's mad. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to say that in just a few more verses.
And yet the plans are going on in the high priest.
Of course, at the very same time. Fill ye up the cup of your fathers. Absolutely. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. In what vein do you suppose they said that? Where did they think they were going? Let's consider that just for a moment. These are the Jews. John points that out, verse number 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Where did they think they were going?
He was going to his father Satan, and they were going to heaven to God.
Well, at that time, they would have called it... They would have called it Abraham's bosom at that time. So they thought they were going into Abraham's bosom. Where did they consign him to? Of course. Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. So he's going into Sheol, or Hades, or hell. If you read over this quickly, you wouldn't stop and think about that. What is actually going on in this scene? Not only are they denying his testimony, but they're denying it vehemently. They've become just plumb emotional about this thing. What provoked this outburst?
Well, they knew about his miraculous deeds.
Yes, they did.
There was something in them that knew that. They just didn't want him to be.
The devils know and tremble. Absolutely. Look what he said. Let's back up in this, because remember, this is one continuous scene. What does he say of himself? Verse number 14. It relates directly to what they're saying now. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came, and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Has he done anything in the past to show that this is true, to vindicate what he's just said? Didn't he tell his disciples at one point, if you can't believe me because I say I am who I am, just believe for the very work's sake? Did he not say that?
Had Lazarus been raised from the dead yet?
No, not yet. But it's interesting. That you brought up Lazarus. What did Lazarus have to say to the rich man about that, since you've brought it up? Well, if they won't believe the testimony of Moses, bring it.
Yeah, they're not going to believe if I
neither will they believe if one were to rise from the dead. Absolutely. In verse number 15, he said, "You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but the Father that sent me." Did he have any evidence to back that statement up? You could go back to the testimony of John the Baptist, couldn't you? The Pharisees and the scribes went down to see what John was doing, and what did John have to say to them? "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And isn't it kind of interesting? In verse number 22, they say, "Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come." And they imagined that they were going to go into Abraham's bosom, and he wasn't. Who did they think was going to get them out of Abraham's bosom? Where was Abraham's bosom? It was a compartment in what we call hell, the low place. There was a great gulf fixed. That was nice. But weren't they prisoners there? Who did they think was going to come and take them out of that place? Yeah, and who are they saying isn't the Messiah? And they say that Jesus is mad and has a devil? Would you say this is a classic case of projection? Sin is insanity. Verse number 22. "Then said the Jews." What does John mean when he uses the term Jews? Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit uses that word?
Would that be the Pharisees?
Yeah, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious riffraff that were running the nation of Israel at the time that Jesus comes into the world. The enemy. The Jews. "Will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come." Well, let's look at that a little bit deeper. Turn to John 13. John chapter 13. Let's spend a couple minutes here examining this verse a bit in a bit more depth before our time is gone for this morning. John chapter 13 and verse number 33. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come." So here's a reference right back to our text for this morning. Only this time he's talking to his disciples. Verse 33 again. "Little children." That's a little bit different than "then said the Jews." "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Let's turn to chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse number 11. "Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Believe me for the very works' sake. Now, what comes in between what we just read and what we just read? You could say John chapter 14 and verse number 1 comes in between those two statements, doesn't it? Is this a far different thing that he's saying to his disciples than what he said unto the Jews? "And whither I go, you cannot come." What does he say to his disciples? "You can't come now, but afterwards, after your job is done here on the earth, and I'm going to assign your tasks in Acts chapter 1, then you can come. But not into Abraham's bosom." What does he say? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Is he still talking about paradise? Is he still talking about Abraham's bosom? No. And what's the condition to get there? That's why we read verse number 11. "Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." If you could just do that, it'd be enough. And isn't that basically, let's go back to our text for this morning, isn't that basically what he's saying to the Jews here? The evidence is in. It's irrefutable evidence. Some of you were there at my baptism. Some of you, you Pharisees, you Jews, not my disciples, I'm speaking to you now, the Jews, were there and heard what happened at my baptism. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
So, Pastor, would that then be, would it be likely that Nicodemus was in this group listening to all
this? We don't know. It's possible. But we know that Nicodemus believed. We go back to John chapter 3 and we find out that at least he's an honest questioner. He's an honest seeker. He comes to the Lord. It's true, he does it by night so his pals can't see what he's doing. But he comes to Jesus by night. He did come. And he did ask questions and he went away with a whole lot of information that he had never considered before. "What do you know about the Holy Spirit, Nicodemus?" "Well, let me tell you a few things." And we know that he shows up again to claim the body of the Lord Jesus, but this time he doesn't come at night, does he? He may have been. We don't know the answer to that question. Nonetheless, let's turn to Zechariah chapter 11. Why not? We'll just take a couple extra minutes here. Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. And we're going to have to read 17 verses, but it'll be all right. If I can get the pages to separate here. Zechariah chapter 11. Now remember, we're not reading this in isolation. Zechariah chapter 11 then. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them and say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. What was that verse that we read? Then said Jesus again to the Jews? Just to kind of help you understand who's being talked about here in this prophecy. Verse number 6. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men every one into his neighbor's hand, and the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver. And I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also will I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Who do you suppose the me is here? Huh? I don't think so. Verse number 8. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Who's the them and the me here? Let's continue reading. Verse number 9. Then said I will not feed you. That that dieth, let it die. And that that is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. So the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. A goodly price I was prized at of them, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now can you answer the question in verse number 8? Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Who's the me? The one that they weighed 30 pieces of silver for the price? I don't think it's Judas. Did they weigh Judas's price at 30 pieces of silver?
It was Jesus, wasn't it?
Of course.
That's what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't say it loud. I can't hear.
Isn't that what I said?
Yes. All right.
He has two witnesses.
That'll do it. That's scriptural. He's vindicated. Verse number 8 again. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Does that sound like John chapter 8?
And the three shepherds are the Trinity, right?
Well, it could be. We're not told that, but I don't think so, because they were cut off in 1 month. Verse number 13. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. A goodly price I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. When did that happen? This is a prophecy, remember.
Well, it happened about 400 years later.
Yes. Now you, who's involved here? Who cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord? Judas did. Verse 14. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. This is a long-term prophecy, but was that band broken? Certainly was. When did that happen? What happened at the end of the reign of Solomon?
The Assyrians came and took up the...
Yes, but what happened before that? At the end of the reign of Solomon. That's when Israel was divided into the northern and southern kingdoms. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that that is broken, nor feed that that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock! The sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. His right eye shall be utterly darkened. What's going on in John chapter 8? That's what they're saying, but what does this prophecy say?
It's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Well, the arm is going to dry up. It means they have no power, no strength whatsoever. And at the time that we're talking about in John 8, verse 22, they're under the rule of the Romans. They have no power. They have no strength.
That's true.
And then on top of that, their right eye will darken. They won't be able to see. And right here, they're blind. They can't see.
Exactly. Exactly. Even after Judas takes the 30 pieces of silver and casts it unto the potter in the house of the Lord. Now, we're not told this, but in the New Testament, where does the potter come in? What did the chief priests use the 30 pieces of silver for? The Aseldama, the field of blood. And who owned it before they bought it? A potter. How intricate isn't that something? But their right eye is what? Utterly darkened. You shall die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. Let's pray.